everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food here on October 21st, 2014. I'm really happy to be here. I really love doing this show. You know, sometimes I think that I do it just for me. It's a selfish thing, but I'm glad you're here to share what I have to say with my guests, because I learned so much, and I hope that you do too. I'm actually in the Bay Area for a few weeks. You know, I'm normally in New York, and sometimes I get over to the left coast. It's always fun when I do, because I get to experience some of the newer restaurants that are going on, or visit some of my old favorites. It's all about food for me all the time. And no matter what I see or hear or learn, I always know plant foods just seem to be the right answer to everything. You know what I mean? Okay, so before I get started, I wanted to let you know that I'm involved with John and Ocean Robbins. We're working together on something called 6 Weeks to a Healthy Kitchen, and you can find out more about it at healthy.foodrevolution.org. And there's a one-hour power hour program that you can listen to. Tomorrow we're having a free question and answer program that you can participate in, and then there is a 6-week course. And I'm really so privileged to be a part of this, and very excited about it. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to healthy.foodrevolution.org, or you can always send me an email at info@realmeals.org. We just want to get you to that lovely, delicious place of eating healthy, delicious food as much as possible, because it's good for you, the planet, and the whole place here that we're, my tongue is all twisted now, but it's good for us and all life on Earth. All right, I want to bring on my very first guest for today, Chef AJ. And she has followed a plant-based diet for over 36 years. She's a chef, culinary instructor, professional speaker, and author. With her comedy background, she has made appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Dave Letterman, and more. We're going to learn a lot more about her and talk about Unprocessed. Hi, Chef AJ. So good to have you
Karen,
today.
Thank you for having me, but it's actually been over 37 years now.
Oh, 37. Ding, ding. 37 is my favorite number, so congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, September 1st, it was 37 years, and I think I'm going to stick with it a little longer.
And I think it will allow you to stick with it a lot longer.
Absolutely.
Most,
it seems to be working
most
for
other
me.
Diets. Wow. I wanted to say, you know, when I put my web pages together with my guests, I don't really read what I'm putting up there, and so I didn't really read your bio until just now. And I was reading your book, Unprocessed, and starting in the beginning, and I was listening to your story, and we can talk more about it in a moment, but you've, like, experienced every bad news possibility, and yet you were talking about it with a wonderful sense of humor, and I thought, boy, she's really got wit, and she's funny, and then I read that, oh, and you were on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because I don't think you've lost everything in life until you lose your sense of humor. That I think then you really have, because as long as you can maintain a sense of humor, I think there's always hope.
Right. Well, that's it, sense of humor. Yeah, I'm telling myself jokes all the time because we live in a cruel world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep our sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people suffer from what I call optical rectumitis, a shitty outlook on life. And I really think you have to really see the good in all situations, and especially when you're down. You know, I remember when I was 4 years old, my great grandmother lost her leg to diabetes, and everybody was like, "Oh, that's so sad." And I'm like, "Hey, you know, she only has to shave one leg now." And I was four, but I realized that, you know, I always had the ability to see the good in every situation, because if you don't, life is going to be a real downer. Because as you said, there's already so many things happening now that we can't control that are sad. But the thing is, you know, you have to maintain that PMA, positive mental attitude, or you're sunk, you know?
Okay, key word you just mentioned, control. there are only so many things we can control in this crazy life, and it really is only our own lives.
And the thing is Karen, one of the things we can control is what we put in our mouth every day. That is one of the things we really can control. And that's why with a whole plant-based diet, I mean, and you're actually controlling your health destiny. That's the great thing about it. It's not just good for the animals. It's not just good for the environment. It's good for your health and longevity and well-being. And that is one thing you can control. And it doesn't matter where you live or how much money you make. No excuses. Everybody can eat healthy in whatever situation they're in, or eat as healthy as possible. And I've traveled now for 4 years all over the United States and parts of the world, and I realize it really can be done, and it can be done quite deliciously and quite affordably.
Okay, so this is 2014. I always like to say, find your kitchen. What we are talking about is something radical and revolutionary in 2014, where everybody's consuming processed, synthetic, just crazy stuff. You've got to get radical, revolutionary, find your kitchen and start learning to prepare your food. This is the message, and your book on process is one way to get there.
Yeah, it's so funny that people think this is revolutionary and this is extreme, eating potatoes, rice, beans, fruits, and vegetables, when our ancestors lived on these foods throughout almost all of human history. It's only in the last couple of hundred years that we started eating processed food. And there's populations in the world today, like where I teach in Mexico or Japan, where people are still eating whole unprocessed food, and they're slim, and they don't have heart disease or diabetes or autoimmune disease and cancer. And people tell me the way I eat is extreme, yet they think that taking 16 medications or having their chest cracked open and veins stripped out of their legs and put in their heart, that's not extreme?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yep. The world
is so
backwards.
You know, and unfortunately, in these places that you're talking about, even these places are changing where more and more people are adopting our crazy way of eating.
Right, right. You know, my internal medicine doctor at a prestigious medical center in Los Angeles, he's my doctor now because he's plant-based, but he's only done so 3 years since reading the China study. And because of this, he's known as the crazy vegan doctor, because if you're vegan, especially if you're an educated health professional, well, the only obvious answer is, well, he must be crazy. It's so funny because when he was 30 pounds overweight, nobody said anything, but he adopted a plant-based diet, got slim, and now they say, you have cancer? This is what happens when we see a normal weight person. We just assume they must have cancer because two-thirds to three-fourths of the people in the United States are overweight or obese. We can't even recognize a normal weight person anymore.
And when you're slim and the right weight, people say, oh, you're too thin.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious, isn't it? I know, because I used to be obese. I used to weigh 180 pounds, and now that I'm more than 60 pounds less, that's what, you know. Oh, no, for women, I don't get to have cancer. Like, oh, she must be anorexic. What they don't realize is now that I'm slim, I eat more food than I ever ate before because I'm eating the right foods. And that's what's so great about the diet that I teach is because, like Dean Ornish said in 1993, when you eat whole natural food, you get to eat more and weigh less. And I love it. And I eat all the time, and I'm very happy with what I eat.
I am, too. And I resonated with so many things that I read in your little book, Unprocessed. What I like about it is it's a slim book, and it's easy to get through very quickly. I just made a few notes, and I thought we might touch on a few of the things that I read.
Great.
It opens Hans Diehl, who I love, wrote your foreword, and it began with, the good life is killing us.
It is.
and we're trying to sell this good life all over the world, and sometimes with the message that we're going to help impoverished areas. And I think, sure, it's wonderful to feed people, and it's wonderful to get people out of poverty, but do we want to trade it with heart disease and diabetes and all kinds of health issues?
You know, most people would say that James Gandolfini, the wonderful actor that played Tony Soprano, was living the good life. But the good life did kill him. He had a massive heart attack after eating an extremely high-fat meal with his son. I believe he was in Italy. So, you know, the good life will shorten your life. But see, I don't believe in a good life. I believe in a great life. And that's what you get when you eat a whole food plant-based diet. So you can keep your good life, people, because we, us plant eaters, we live a great life.
Okay, so you're funny. And the first thing that was funny in your book that I found was that you were born just after isolated soy protein was
invented. That's right. That's right. 1960, you bet. Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about isolated soy protein for a minute.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, soy is fine. You know, people want to avoid it. I actually do avoid it because I'm allergic to it. But if people want to eat edamame, it's definitely healthy. People want to have a little minimally processed soy like tofu, tempeh, or even soy milk made out of soybeans and water. It's fine. But the problem is again, we take a whole natural food like a bean and we process it into burgers and powders and candy bars, and then everything that was good about it is stripped away in the processing. And what happens is we actually have now a disease-promoting food that can raise what's called IGF-1, which is a strong cancer promoter. And this is what they do. This is what the processed food industry does, is they mess with nature. And, you know, you can't mess with Mother Nature and hope to thrive. You know, the thing is, I do not eat oil. I do not advocate oil, especially for people that are overweight, trying to lose weight, or people with heart disease or diabetes. There's nothing good about oil. It's not a whole food. It's 4,000 calories a pound. It has no fiber. It has no nutrients, no vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, and antioxidants. Most of the time in human history, oil didn't exist. You can't take an olive and squeeze it and get oil the way you can an orange and get juice. But this is what the processed food industry does, is they create these highly caloric, highly addictive products that really don't serve our health. And the answer is to always go to the whole food, Karen. So I'm not telling people not to eat fat, but if you want to eat olives. If you want to eat flaxseed, eat flaxseed. You don't need to eat the oil of these whole food products. You want to get the food in the whole food form. Same thing with sugar. Eat beets. Don't eat sugar. You know, it takes 3 feet of sugar cane to make a teaspoon of sugar. It takes 16 ears of corn to make a tablespoon of corn oil. When you eat the whole natural foods, you get full from all the fiber and water and vitamins and minerals, and you end up eating less. You can get to your true slim ideal weight without overeating, and it's just healthier. It's more sustainable. It's actually cheaper, too, you know, to eat this way. That's what people don't understand, because if all you're doing is eating restaurants and eating designer vegan processed food, it can be really expensive. But if you're eating potatoes, rice, and beans, they've showed you can eat for, I believe it was, what, like $1.33 a day. They did an experiment on forks over knives. Very affordable to eat this way.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, yep. But we got to get radical. We got to get revolutionary, and we have to find our kitchen.
Well, you know what? As people just keep dying and getting, you know, sicker and sicker and more obese, at some point, you know, it's going to have to change. And it is changing, because look at Kaiser Permanente, one of the largest, if not the largest, institutions of healthcare management organizations. They're promoting plant-based diets to their patients now. They're recommending them, especially the patients with diabetes. So things are changing very slowly, but I think they are. It's sort of like, you know, I remember when I was a little kid in the 60s, I remember going to the movies and people smoking, and it was like disgusting, or they could smoke in the grocery store. Well, guess what? You can't smoke anywhere now, and if you smoke, it's almost embarrassing and shameful. At the airport, they have these little, like, rooms where people can smoke, and you can look at them and make fun of them. Well, I think that's what it's going to come down to one day with people that are eating, you know, animal products and processed food. It's like, you can do it. It's addictive. But there's going to be consequences, you know, and it should be taxed. It should, just like the way Bloomberg, the mayor in New York, says we got to tax, you know, junk food and sodas. Let's do the same thing to processed food and animal products, you know.
But, you know, thinking about how much smoking used to go on in public and how we don't have it now is really, I like to reflect on that moment and be so grateful for what we have accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was horrible for those of us who didn't smoke. Remember, going on airplanes, we're afraid of Ebola now, but I mean,
oh, my God, yeah.
But the cigarette smoke that used to go on in the planes, you couldn't breathe.
Right. It took like a movement, a mass, you know, and the thing is, you know, doctors used to smoke. I mean, if you look at commercials from the old days, doctors used to recommend cigarettes to their patients. But here's the thing. When you know better, you have to do better. And people know now that the standard American diet is killing us. This so-called good life is killing us. We can't just keep our heads buried in the sand. We know better. Everybody has access now to forks over knives. It's on Netflix. You know better. You've got to do better. Some people won't, and that's their choice. But at least let's get this information out. And it is getting out, you know, thanks to the internet, and people are at least understanding that dairy is a strong cancer promoter. And you know, like Paul McCartney said years ago, if slaughterhouses had windows, everybody would be a vegetarian, you know? And now there's a law that you can't even film what's going on inside. You know, you get prosecuted if you try to blow the whistle on all the abuse that's going out there. But it's getting out. It's slow. But, you know, people are waking up, I think. And that's really what's going to be required is the people are going to have to wake up, you know?
Yes, we have to wake up. I don't know if there were windows on slaughterhouses or factory farms, if everybody would go vegetarian, unfortunately. That's the pessimistic side of me. But I still think it should be overt and not hidden.
Yep.
It shouldn't be hidden.
But I think children would. You know, I remember Harvey Diamond, who wrote Fit for Life, said that, you know, I'll put in your playpen, I'll put a bunny and a carrot. And if your kid plays with the carrot and eats the bunny, I'll give you a new car. Because the reality is, kids, this truth is hidden from kids. We don't call we call food hot dogs. We don't say it's made up of ground up anuses and lips and all that kind of stuff. You know, if people knew what they were really eating, we don't call it cows. We call it beef. You know, we have little names. We don't call it pigs, we call it bacon and pork. We hide the truth from the kids by having little names. And you know, there are kids that if they knew that they were eating their friends, they wouldn't eat it. But we hide them, the truth for them, until the point where they're already addicted, and it's very hard for them to not eat these things, because once they have a taste for flesh and then they start learning this incorrect information, how, you know, milk does the body good, it gets much harder. But I think, at least in the case of children, if they knew that, they may not eat those. I know I wouldn't have. I mean, I know I wanted to be vegan as a young child. My mom wouldn't let me. The only way I could ever get meat down me as a kid is if she disguised it, like in a soup or a stew. I sure couldn't eat anything with a bone. I couldn't eat any fish with a head or a rib. I mean, I know I ate animal products, but they didn't look like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was a soup. But I think the people have to know. And a lot of people don't want to know, because guess what? When you know, you may have to change. Boy, people don't like changing.
All right, so changing the subject, people like to make excuses, and they blame their genes a lot. And you, I didn't write it exactly down, but you had a line about how genes load.
Yeah, well, I believe this is from Colin Campbell from the China study, I believe.
Oh, genes load the gun and diet and lifestyle pull the trigger.
Absolutely. You know, when you really look into this field, lifestyle medicine, epigenetics, you realize that genetics accounts for a very small fraction of whether or not you get a disease. Some say as little as 10%, some say as little as 5%. Your genes are what made you maybe have blue eyes or blonde hair, but it doesn't determine your health destiny. Now, I come from a family of sick or dead people, meaning I lost everybody in my family by the time I was in my early 40s, meaning all my parents and grandparents on both sides, and aunts and cousins, and even some siblings, due to things like cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, all those kind of things. So one could say that these run in my family. Cancer runs in my family. It sure does, and so does type 2 diabetes and heart disease. But everybody pretty much is dead from it, except for me and my sister. My sister's 6 years older than me. She's 60. I'm 54 and a half. Well, if that's true, then why am I on no medication? Why don't I have any of the diseases? Could the fact that my sister and I took a different path have anything to do with it? And the thing is, Karen, that's so exciting is in this field of epigenetics, is they determined that when you actually change your nutrition to a whole food plant-based diet, you can actually change the expression of your genes. One of my favorite doctors in Houston, Texas, a cardiologist named Dr. Baxter Montgomery, says that it's not the disease that runs in the family. It's the recipes that are handed down generation after generation. My friend who's a doctor in Sacramento says a lot of his patients come to him and says, "Doctor, I can't help it that I'm fat. Diabetes runs in my family." He goes, "No, you're fat because nobody runs in your family." So what is hereditary is the lifestyle of inactivity and the bad food. But genetics does not have to determine your health destiny at all. And if you do have bad genes, we can't choose our parents, we can't choose our genes, then it's even more important to eat healthily if this stuff runs in your family, because you know it does. So it's even more important to adopt a whole food plant-based diet now, soon rather than later, so that you can avoid these diseases that everybody else in your family succumbed to. So you know, diet is not your genes are not your destiny. Your diet is it can can be your destiny. And if you choose wisely, you can avoid these diseases. And that's what's so beautiful about this diet, is you avoid the disease that's killing everybody. Heart disease, number one killer of most Americans. Dr. Esselstyn says it's a foodborne illness. Most of these diseases are created with a knife and fork. They said that 90% of all our visits to a doctor, any doctor, are from lifestyle-related diseases. The five habits, from what we eat, what we drink, whether or not we smoke, whether or not what we drink, meaning alcohol, whether or not we exercise, and whether or not we can mitigate our stress. So these are all things that have nothing to do with your genes. Sure, if somebody's born with spina bifida or something like that, yes, that is genetic. That, of course, when you're born that way. But if you weren't born with it, it's not genetic. You have control. Take control of your health destiny. Change your food. Change your health destiny.
I think most people want to eat more healthfully.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their excuses, of course, and they're
right.
Overwhelmed. They're tired. A lot of people have children and they have jobs, and they just don't seem to have a minute extra.
Yeah.
And you write
right.
in your book that eating healthy foods, you end up having more energy and you might even have more time.
That's right. And actually, if you buy a pressure cooker, which I believe in completely, the Instant Pot, you have even more time because meals, you know, I'm doing a seminar right now in Texas. I'm on a break, actually, from the seminar. I'm teaching, actually, at the home of a mayor. And, you know, I said to people, I said, look, not every single meal has to be a five-star gourmet meal at a restaurant. And the thing is when you have an Instant Pot or a pressure cooker, you throw in your rice and beans and potatoes and vegetables, you put it on, you set it the button, you go out and you walk your dog, you take a bath, and a half hour later, you got dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually can end up having more time when you cook this way because it just becomes so easy and so delicious. And the thing is, people will always make excuses about time, Karen, but the reality is time is the only commodity in life that's fair, meaning we all have different amounts of money or other things, but time, we all have the same 24 hours. And this is what I tell people. If you are on Facebook, you have time to eat healthy. Get off Facebook and start cooking your meals, you know?
Get off Facebook!
That's right. Because when I see people in my class that are tweeting and being on Facebook while I'm teaching them, and they're telling me they don't have time to eat healthy, do you know how much time people waste watching reality television or being on Facebook? You know, the thing is you have the time. You just have to make this a priority. And the thing is you, I always ask people when they come to study with me privately, very often it's for food addiction and weight loss, first question is, what are your goals? Because that's really going to determine how you behave. And unless what is important to you, if your health is not your number one priority, I always ask people, what's your priority in life? If it's not number one, then, you know, you're not going to achieve that as a goal because it really does. Your health has to be very, very important to you for you to have the ability to do this and get off Facebook and stop driving through the drive-thru and make a few meals. And the thing is as you do it, it becomes easier, and then it becomes habit. It's like brushing your teeth. I would venture to say that most of your listeners and most people in our country probably brush and even floss their teeth every day, and they don't even think twice about it. It became a habit, and so can healthy eating become. The more you do it, the more you like it, the easier it gets. Maybe never going to be as easier as driving through the fast food restaurant and going to the dollar menu. But you know what? When people say that fast food is cheap and easy, I tell them that heart disease and cancer is very difficult and very expensive. Because if you don't change your diet, even if you're just eating a vegan junk food diet, at some point you will have to pay the price because even vegans get sick. And that's why we want to have people eat a whole food plant-based diet and sooner rather than later. Because I'll tell you, it's much easier to prevent these diseases like heart disease, autoimmune disease, certain cancers, and type 2 diabetes and reverse them. Now, it can be reversed, but the thing is why not be proactive, you know? Why start smoking in the first place? Why start drinking in the first place? These things are such difficult habits to break. Why not just start now, you know?
You mentioned pressure cooking. Is there a pressure cooker that you recommend? Do you prefer the electric or the stovetop or what?
You know, I do prefer the electric for a couple of reasons. One, I travel full-time and I can't cook with a stovetop in my hotel room. I love the Instant Pot, and if your listeners go to the website www.instantpot.com and they use my name, AJ, they'll get $50 off. And what I love about the Instant Pot is it not only has things like a yogurt setting and all these different settings, but it has a stainless steel insert into many people that is very important because they're not comfortable using a nonstick thing. So I love the Instant Pot, great customer service, and I actually have two of them now, and I love them. I need one to cook my grains and beans and the other one to cook my soup and stew. And at first I was afraid of pressure cooking. I heard they explode and they were dangerous. If you have an iPhone, you can use a pressure cooker because it's just pushing a button. It's so easy.
Okay, that's really good to know. I've heard good things about that Instant Pot, so I'm glad to hear that you like it too.
I love it.
Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. I saved the best for last, which is let's talk about the delicious foods. So one of the ingredients you talk about, I just want a little more detail on this, is that you use sun-dried tomatoes ground up.
Yes. Now, when I wrote the book, it was very easy to get sun-dried tomato powder without salt online. Now they stopped doing it, but I'll tell you, because I don't use salt, that doesn't mean I don't use flavor. And it takes about 4 pounds of tomatoes to yield 3 ounces of sun-dried tomatoes. So they're just packed full of flavor. So what you can do is most places sell sun-dried tomatoes now in the market, and you can either, if you have a high-powered blender, great. If not, you can buy a little coffee grinder for $15, and you want to take the kind that are dried, not the kind that are packed in oil, and you just grind them into a powder, and you can use them just to add flavor to things like bean burgers and lentil loaves and soups and stews and even sprinkling them on salads. And they're just, it's absolutely delicious. And if you don't have a market that sells it, some people do live in small towns, you can buy them online. JustTomatoes.com has very hard sun-dried tomatoes without oil. They're organic. And I just found out it was just the most wonderful flavor. And I use it for just about everything. And it's delicious. What can I tell you? They're very, very delicious.
Okay. So then the next item I want to talk about is psyllium husks.
Yeah.
And a lot of times some people might be familiar with them for constipation.
Metamucil. Right.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I wrote this book before chia seeds came around. So anytime you see me use psyllium husk in a recipe, feel free to substitute chia seeds, which are high in omega-3 fatty acids. You'll yield the same result, but you don't have to be afraid of psyllium. It's just a husk. It's a natural thickener. And while it's true that Metamucil, which is to move your bowels, contains psyllium husk is not Metamucil. So you can get it at the grocery store. You can get it at Trader Joe's. You can get it at the health food store. But again, if people are uncomfortable using it now, they can use chia seeds. It will thicken absolutely beautifully. You can make, jellies and jams just by pureeing fruit and adding things like chia seeds or psyllium husk just to gel them.
But psyllium husks are cheaper than chia seeds, aren't they?
Yes, they absolutely are much, much affordable. Like, you can get this big carton of them at Trader Joe's for like $6. Chia seeds are much, much more costly, but
yeah.
They're the seed du jour. You know, we have the grain du jour, which is quinoa, and the seed du jour, which is chia seeds. And but either absolutely are fine. But you're right, if you're making a large amount of something, psyllium husk is very, very inexpensive, and it thickens very beautifully and very quickly.
Okay, so I want to mention two recipes in your book that were making me lick the page. And one is your mint chip smoothie.
That's delicious. Yeah, you can make that with spinach or kale. It's like a shamrock shake.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan of mint kind of ice creams, and that just is like right up my alley. Pistachio milk, banana, dates, fresh mint leaves, kale leaves, cacao nibs. It's yummy.
It's so good. It is. It's mint chocolate chip ice cream was always my favorite.
Oh, there you go. And then the other one is your kung pao tofu.
Yeah, that's really spicy, but it's really, really good. And again, I think I'm using, I forget what I'm using as a thickener, arrowroot for
the arrowroot, yep.
Yeah. That's another one. So, again, we have all these natural thickeners like arrowroot and cornstarch and agar. And, yeah, that's really yummy. The sauce is boss. And, that's the thing. If we have a few good sauces, we can make multiple meals. We can change the vegetable or the grain or the bean or if we're using tofu or tempeh, that, really you need to have flavorful sauces. And that one really is quite flavorful.
Now, most of your recipes have, like, just a handful of ingredients. They're not complicated at all.
Exactly. And I did that on purpose because I was a volunteer culinary instructor at the Braille Institute in Los Angeles for many years, and all of my students were blind, and almost all of them went blind due to type 2 diabetes. And I figured if I have recipes that blind people can do, regular people can do them. And every single recipe in my book, Unprocessed, was tested on a blind student. And that's the thing. If the recipes are easy, people are going to make them. And nothing bothers me more, Karen, when I get a beautiful cookbook and there's like 30 ingredients, an eighth of a teaspoon, a pinch, because people don't cook that way. Not people really in America. Chefs may cook that way in restaurants, but real food for real people. And I try to keep it to 7 ingredients or less. The most complicated recipe in my book, which I'm told is one of my best on page 100, is the disappearing lasagna. But then again, that's more of a party or a special occasion recipe. And even that is not really that complicated. And my blind students were able to do it. My recipes are so easy that my husband can do that. And if you knew my husband and his ability to cook, you'd be like, really? So, yes, I did purposely keep it simple because the truth is, even though I'm a chef, I worked in a restaurant, I went to culinary school, I eat like a regular person. I eat very simply, and I feel that that's how my body does best, and that's what I really enjoy, and that's what my book reflects. And I don't think you think food needs to be complicated. It just needs to be filling and tasty and healthy and delicious.
Oh, okay. Well, Chef AJ, so good to talk to you. We've come to the end of the program, and I just wanted to say one last thing, and that is you really can tell how good these foods are because you put desserts first in your list of all your recipes, and these desserts are made from healthy whole foods.
Exactly, and I use this is what I do. I don't use any sugar. I don't use any flour. I use the fruit, the whole fruit, and nothing but the whole fruit. So help me God.
So help me. Okay, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope to get to know you sometime in person.
Thank you, Karen. Take care.
Okay, take care. Whew. Bye-bye. Yeah, well, I love talking about food. You know that about me, and I hope you love listening about healthy, delicious food. So we're going to take a very fast break and come back and speak with Maya Gupta of the Animal and Society Institute. We'll be right back. Everybody, we're back. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. So I was expecting to speak with Maya Gupta today of the Animals and Society Institute. And unfortunately, I think we had a little confusion about the time. And I'm going to have to bring her on another time. And it's a little bit frustrating because I've been trying to get her on this program for a very long time, and one thing or another keeps coming up. Okay, so let's just continue the healthy food conversation. I wanted to remind you again about this healthy.foodrevolution.org Power Hour. If you haven't heard it, it's a free and global event hosted by John and Ocean Robbins, and I'm actually assisting them in this project and their subsequent 6 weeks to a healthy kitchen, which will be starting on October 28th. And it's really been exciting and fun for me because I'm actually grabbing all of the important information that I've been talking to you about for a long time and putting together. And so it's a great opportunity to focus all of my ideas and thoughts and knowledge and put them all into one course. And it's a great learning experience for me, and I hope some of you will join us in that journey. Again, it's healthy.foodrevolution.org. And so I'm here in the Bay Area, and like I said, I'm enjoying traveling around and experiencing some of the latest and greatest restaurants that are out here. There's one that I'm really looking forward to going to, which I haven't been to yet, and maybe some of you have heard about it. I've just discovered it. It's called plant-based pizza, and it's in San Jose, California. And they've got a really phenomenal menu. It's all plant-based pizzas and calzones, and you can get wheat-based or gluten-free. And I really want to say this is where we should be going. Of course, I want everybody to get back in their kitchen and learn how to make healthy, delicious, simple food. But from time to time, when we want to go out for a treat and have fun and meet people and socialize, well, why not go to a place that has plant-based pizza? None of the cruelty, all of the fun, all of the flavor. So I'll let you know next week what I think of this place. I'm really excited about it, and well, I'll just let you know about that. It's always challenging when we're eating when we're on the road, and there are all kinds of tricks and things to eat more healthfully when you're traveling. It's tough when you're always eating in restaurants because, as we know, restaurants love salt, sugar, and fat, and to order things that are interesting and fun and don't have those three ingredients or very little of them is somewhat challenging. But I want to say things are improving, at least here where I am in the Bay Area. There have been so many restaurants that I've been to that actually have kale salads on their menus. I think everyone I've been to so far has kale salad, and that makes me happy. Kale, there's nothing kale can't do. And to be able to order a kale salad is really amazing. Now, sometimes, of course, they can have dressings and things and some toppings that you may not want to have, but fortunately, most places will allow you to customize what you're ordering. But if they've got the right ingredients, that's like a phenomenal beginning. So there's that. There are a few other places that I love to go to, and I just want to mentioned them. I don't know if you've ever experienced these places. One is a little tiny place called Tofu Kamche, and it makes these big bowls of soup. They're like Vietnamese style. So there are some meat analog products in it. Not something that I eat very frequently, but kind of fun on occasion, and a really delicious soup broth. And we've been playing at home, actually, with trying to come up with the ideal spice mix for an Asian-style soup. Maybe you've tried some of these Chinese five spice mixes, and some of the secret ingredients in these spice mixes is like an anise or a fennel, which has that licorice flavor. And you probably wouldn't think that licorice or a licorice flavor would really taste good in a soup broth, but when you have just the right amount and it blends with all the other flavors, it really gives a lovely dimension and a great flavor. The secret is how much. And when we figure out the mix that we like best, I'll definitely share it with you at responsibleeatingandliving.com, which, you know, that's where I live. Excuse me. There have been some interesting articles that have come out in the news and some books that are getting some press. So there's a new article at Salon.com that came out on Sunday, America's Meat's Disgusting Secret, Why Factory Farms Are Even Worse Than You Thought. And I think this is great when articles like this come out. This is at Salon.com. And there's a journalist who's come out with a new book called The Chain, which just came out just a few days ago. It's a powerful and important work of investigative journalism that explores the runaway growth of the American meatpacking industry and its dangerous consequences. Now, I'm really excited that this book has come out. I haven't read it yet. You probably have some of the frustrations that I have, where we've known about things for decades, and then someone comes out with some investigative journalism, and it's not really new information.
It's been going on for a long time. But the more books that come out about it, the better, because it's an opportunity for more people to discover this information. Like I said before, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I think even if people do know about the horrors that go on in factory farms, not everyone is going to change. Not everyone is going to give up their meat. But the more people that are aware of the truth and have the truth in their face every day, then we can't really ignore it. And that's what we need more of. We need to have this information out on the front page, out in the bookstores, out everywhere. So this new book, The Chain, Farm, Factory, and the Fate of Our Food, which came out on October 14th, is one good thing to have out there. And I hope a lot of people read it and ultimately give up their bacon. What is this thing about bacon, anyway? Do any of you love your bacon and not want to give it up? Tell me more about it and write me at info@realmeals.org, because I want to understand it, this thing, this passion thing about bacon. I was with some people recently, and they looked like reasonable, healthy eaters and educated, and yet they were all saying how they couldn't give up their bacon. And yet, I think if they read this book or learned about how pigs are raised and how they're not only just raised in horrific conditions, but then what the slaughterhouse situation is like, and not just the pigs, but the people that work in these places are treated almost as badly as the animals, I would think you might think twice about your bacon. At least I would hope so. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth all the pain and suffering that goes into those momentary moments of pleasure? Momentary moments of pleasure. Okay, I'm from the Department of Redundancy Department. Now, something that we like to do at Responsible Eating and Living headquarters is we make our own bacon-like foods from tempeh. I remember somebody once telling me that they use pecans. And there are lots of wonderful foods, plant foods, that can be seasoned in just the right way and either chopped or sliced or fried or baked. And they give that lovely, fatty, salty, flavorful taste that goes so well with so many things, without the pain and suffering. So that's why we're here. We're here to help people learn that they can have all these wonderful, great flavors and feel good about it. That's all I want to do, folks. And then I'm looking at an article on, where was it? It was at, I just had it here and it went away. Okay, I guess I can't talk about that one. But this idea is that it's not revolutionary or radical to cook meals at home. But I want to say that it is, because I want to generate a movement of excitement, make it kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like it's exciting or dangerous, where you're breaking away from the majority and you're breaking away from the norm and you're doing something edgy and different, and you're leading the world. And all you're doing is going into the kitchen and making some really simple foods that are healthy and delicious, and all of a sudden you become a superhero. You become fit, and you like yourself better. You're feeling good. You have more energy. That's radical. That's revolutionary. Can we make a movement out of that? It's not hard. Let's get over ourselves, okay, and make some wonderful
delicious food. So here's the thing. We're going to talk a little bit more about this next week when I have Susan Thompson on the show, who she is a psychology professor and has all kinds of information about weight loss and willpower and food addiction. But a piece of eating healthfully is planning and getting organized. Now, I remember talking to, I think it was Dr. David Katz on this show. He had a book called Disease Proof. And, you know, he was talking about anything that we do in life, even learning how to walk. It took time. It took patience. It took trial and error. And the same thing is with getting in a routine about preparing our healthy food. It takes effort. It's not hard, but it does take a certain amount of energy to change our habits and establish new habits. And you have to want to do that. If you don't want to do it, well, it's really going to be hard to happen. But if you do want to have, you do want to do that. And I know a lot of people that listen to this program do want to eat more healthfully and struggle. And part of the problem is that sugar and flour are very addicting foods. Now, there are different groups of people, and some of us fall prey more easily to things that are addictive. And it makes it even harder to break away from foods with sugar and flour. And that's when you really have to take the time, evaluate your life, and see how you can make changes. And part of it is going into your kitchen, and sometimes you have to clear the whole space out, empty everything out, and start fresh. Organize your space in a way that makes it more pleasurable, makes it easier. If some of the things that you always use are in hard-to-get places, it's going to be so difficult to get started. If you don't have one or two or three knives that are sharp and work well, you're not going to want to get in the kitchen and chop up some carrots and onions to make a soup, because it's going to be difficult. It's going to take a lot of time. So there are some simple tools that we need. And there's a wide range of prices for all kinds of tools. And you don't have to spend a lot of money, but you do have to have some critical items. Now, Chef AJ was talking about that pressure cooker. And I've never gotten into the pressure cooker. I'm not that obsessed with saving time to make food, but I'm kind of curious about it, and I may actually delve into the world of pressure cooking. Let's stay tuned for that. I'm getting closer and closer, just wanting to see what it's like to experience it. But I think I also like to keep my appliances down to a minimum. There are some essential things that you need, but I don't get too high-tech into all the equipment that I have. You just have to have some basic essentials. I still don't have a high-power blender. I may go for one of those someday soon, too. I know my smoothies would be a lot easier to make and creamier, but I don't mind making them with a blender. I'm happy to have a simple blender. And like I said, I like to keep things simple. I don't want to have too many complex, expensive pieces of equipment. But when it comes to saving time, a pressure cooker can save time, but you can also save a lot of time just by planning. So before you're going to sleep on a weekend, let's say, you put beans in a pot and you soak them. How much time does that take? A minute? Cover it up. The next morning you drain the beans, put new water on it, and turn the fire on, or the heat on, and they're done in an hour or two without even paying attention to them. So a pressure cooker could come in handy because it cooks these beans and grains and other things really quickly, and it's all covered, and it's some of these new ones are automated, so you really can actually leave the house and come back when it's done. But still, you don't need to do that to make healthy, delicious food and make it fast. As long as you know these simple steps, simple new habits that you can incorporate in your life to get some of these done. And once you have that big pot of beans and or a big pot of grains or whatever, it's so much easier to just add your favorite little sauces and foods, vegetables, and the meals are easy and delicious and healthy. Why not? What else can we talk about these last few minutes? Here we are. It's the middle of October, October 21st, and I didn't talk about the weather yet today. So I'm in California, and the weather's really been phenomenal. And as I checked the weather back in New York, New York's looking pretty warm. In fact, I was reading the last 6 months have been the warmest temperatures on record. Is that possible? Where are we going with that? Are we really experiencing a little taste of our change in climate? And let's just talk about that briefly before I go, because this is where we can all take control of our own lives and make a difference for the planet, too. And let's not forget that animal agriculture is a major cause of global warming. So whatever we can do in our own lives and in our families' lives to get plants on the plate and animals off the plate, we're doing a good thing. So my assignment for all of you is to find a recipe that looks healthy and delicious. You might find it at responsibleeatingandliving.com. You might find it in one of your cookbooks. Make it and share it with people who don't normally eat plant foods and let them try it. Because most people are just afraid of change, and we have to try new things. And some of those new things may just change your life for the better. Next week, I am talking to, as I said, a couple of people, and one of them that I'm really looking forward to is Jan Grandma Golden, and I hope you join me because that looks like a lot of fun. She's a grandmother and passionate about the environment and wrote a sweet little book for children called It's a Great Day for Pulling Weeds. Who knows, maybe we'll get to read the entire book on the program. It's one of those short but sweet little things. Okay, well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I think we'll say goodbye for today, and we'll join you next week on another episode of It's All About Food. In the meantime, your assignment is to make some healthy, delicious food, and have a very delicious week.